As we come to reflect on those words, let's pray together. As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, as we've been going through Lent, we've been on our Sunday morning services, we've been thinking and exploring different spiritual disciplines that we believe might be able to help us to come closer to Jesus and to kind of ingrain these patterns of discipleship into our everyday life, to build up these good habits that draw us closer to Jesus. We say, as All Saints, we're called to be closer to Christ and sent to be closer to others. And these spiritual disciplines, we believe, can help us with that. So we've thought about fasting, about worship, about lament. And this week, we're thinking particularly about the spiritual discipline of generosity. So as we do that, let's start with our first reading. That was read from the book of Acts, which is Luke's history of the early church in the months and the years following Jesus' death and resurrection and his return to his Father's side in heaven. And the paragraph we read, it's only from chapter 4, it's quite early on in the life of this new community of faith. And when we read it carefully, don't just kind of let it flow past us, it's incredibly challenging. Just one sentence from it is enough just to bring us up short. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. When children are little, it seems to me that we spend quite a lot of time and energy trying to teach them two particular things, two concepts. The first of those is to share nicely. And the other one is that they can't just take things off other children. How many times at toddler groups, when they're allowed to run, up and down the country, are there tears over one child monopolising a toy that another child wants to play with, or by one child swiping a biscuit off another child's plate? Share nicely and don't take what isn't yours. As we grow older, we call those who never learn to keep their hands off other people's stuff thieves, and those who won't ever share, stingy. But although it's two sides of the same coin, it seems to me that both of those adults in grown-up, both those attitudes in grown-ups, are a form of selfishness. I want what I want, and never mind anyone else. I want what I want, so I'm going to keep it to myself. I want what I want, so I'm going to take it off somebody else. Both selfishness, actually, at their core. But in marked contrast to this, we see the members of the community of the early church in Jerusalem pooling their resources, even able to get to the stage of saying about everything they got, it's not mine, it's ours. Now, as we read our way through Acts, to be fair, it doesn't actually seem like this pattern repeated itself in other expressions of the early church. We don't actually get any hint that this is how what happened in other churches in other cities. But we do get a theme of generosity through many of Paul's letters and through Acts, of collections being held in one city to support poorer churches in another city, of people being supported, of handouts within the church community to support those who weren't so well off. So we do get this picture of quite astonishing generosity in the early church. And actually, this insight of pooled resources underpins it all. And we see it so clearly in Acts. And I think if we were to apply it to our modern life, it's perhaps it finds expression in the sense that when we transfer money by standing order or bank draft or by check or by giving on the plate, when we transfer money from our bank account to the church's bank account, there's a real sense in which we're not giving to the church, because the church isn't an organization or an institution that's separate from us. We are the church. Each one of us, as members of Christ, as baptized Christians, are in the church. We are the church. We're just moving some of the financial resources from our individual kind of pools into the common pool. We are the church. And in the early church in Jerusalem, they took this kind of idea to its ultimate conclusion and shared everything. They didn't do that even in the early church in other cities, and we don't do it at All Saints to that extent. But this idea of pooled resources, I think, is really important. And I think at All Saints, we very often do put this into practice. I think we are a generous church. That's not to pat ourselves on the back, but we say that one of our core values is to celebrate. And there might not be much to celebrate at the moment, but there are things we can celebrate as we see the Spirit of God moving us to generosity. Now, on a financial side, I don't know very much about who gives what on a name-by-name basis. We have a policy that's kept confidential to the treasurer, so I don't know. But I do know from the top-line stuff that about 150 households in All Saints who give through the plans giving scheme are giving kind of an average of about £70 a month. I do know that when we ask people to give towards specific projects like the Easter bags we're taking out to families, we have people step forward and support those financially and with the time to go and distribute them. I know that there are people who've had inheritance or business windfalls who've given chunks of that into the common pot for the church to be able to use. I know that we've received direct bequests from people's wills. There's lots of examples of generosity in and around All Saints we can celebrate. But I know that as a church, as a community, we're generous as well. So we give away 10% of our income to mission organisations in this country and abroad to further the work of the gospel in other places. I know that as a community, we support local food banks with money, food and volunteer time. There are other things we're involved in, school governing, the CAP Debt Centre, street pastors, all kinds of things we get involved in as a church community, giving our time and our resources. This is something we can celebrate and build on, because it releases us as a church to be able to do things that otherwise we wouldn't be able to do. And actually, I think it's one of the ways we put into practice our value of loving each other when we share and pool our financial resources. And I also see this generosity at work in the way that we love our neighbours. There's lots of that as well. A lot of that food bank stuff is to do with that, loving those around us. But actually, in the second reading that we had from Luke's first book, his eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life, we read Jesus instructing us to go even further than loving our enemies. Not just to love, I've skipped ahead a bit. It's not just to love each other and our neighbours, but also to love our enemies. If we thought that example from Acts of generosity was challenging to pool our resources between ourselves, how do we react to this one? Love our enemies. Jesus doesn't leave us anywhere to hide. He gives practical examples of how to put this into practice. Pray for those who ill-treat you. Think of somebody now who's ill-treated you. How does it feel to be told to pray for them? If someone takes your coat, give them your shirt. Lend to people with no expectation of being paid back. as we stop and just think about this for a minute, surely it makes us squirm. Oh, the banking system would collapse. We'd end up with nothing. We'd be taken advantage of. It's too difficult. Jesus can't really have meant it. Can he? Well, yes and no, I think. You see, it seems to me that Jesus' aim was not to give us another list of rules that we could either tick off in some morally self-satisfied smug way, or feel guilty about failing to keep. It's not a list of kind of rules. It's more about practical examples of what it means to live with generous hearts because we have faith in a generous God. You see, this whole section ends with Jesus giving the reason that we're to live like this. This is the way we're to behave, because we live generously because we believe and trust in a generous God. God is kind and merciful and generous to us, and so we are kind and merciful and generous to others. And of course, we see this lived out perfectly in Jesus' life, and even more in his death. After they had taken his coat and his shirt and every other item of clothing and nailed him to a cross, he prayed for his enemies and he gave his life for us. I wonder if you could picture in your mind a marketplace in the Near East. It's hot, it's a bit dusty, lots of colourful market stalls. And you walk through the market. You can see all the things, the fruit and the vegetables laid out in the market stalls, fruit piled up in little pyramids, people buying and selling and bartering. And you come across a stallholder selling grain out of big sacks on the floor. And you watch as customers go and place their orders. And each customer brings their own grain pot and says how much they want, one or two or three cups perhaps. And as you're watching, it seems to you that this stallholder's cup looks a bit on the small side. And he dips it into the nearest sack. He takes it out and very carefully runs a straight edge over the top of the cup to knock any extra off. And then he takes that measure and he pours it into the customer's grain pot and takes their coin. You watch a little while and then you walk on through the market and you come across another grain store and more sacks of grain, and a customer comes up and orders a cup of grain. And the stallholder takes a good-sized cup and he plunges it into the sack and he draws it out and he gives it a good shake, and then he presses it down and shakes it together and presses it down, and there's a gap at the top. So he plunges it in again and scoops up the grain again, and this time it's all four, and there's a little pyramid of grain on the top of the cup. And then he pours that measure of grain into his customer's grain pot. I wonder which stallholder you'd go to buy your grain. A few verses later from our reading this morning, Luke records that Jesus says this: "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Generosity is a discipline. It's a choice. We might find it easier to be generous in some areas of our lives than others. We might find it easy to give money, but not time. We might find it easy to lend things to people, but difficult to forgive. We might be happy to volunteer, but have difficulty making generous assumptions about other people's motivations or even actions. It's a discipline so that we can get good at all these things. But the great thing is that we're not alone in it. We never are in the Christian life. Our generous God has given us the Holy Spirit to challenge us and to enable us and encourage us to be generous. Jesus gave his life so that we could be forgiven when we fail, as we will, and we can go again. And our generous God has given us each other to practice on and to support each other. So, let us be generous and merciful, just as our Father is generous and merciful. Amen.